You're listening to the Saturday Night Special, exclusively on the TKR Live Broadcasting Network.
Some experts claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
Saturday. I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Oh yeah, I know how you feel, Billo.
Five,
no
four,
boy. It sucks. Everything sucks. We are last minute jumping in, doing this Saturday night special because I have been all day trying to test and try to do anything I could to make the internet problem I'm having better, but it appears to be completely out of my control, which I knew already. But we're here. We are here, and that's why the intro was short. Didn't have all the normal stuff in it. I wanted to keep it short enough that maybe the internet would stay on long enough for us to start talking before it went out on us. But we do have a Wrecking Crew here with us. We have a Hate Farmer, don't we?
Yay! It's Saturday night, Filthy Goyim. Tell you what, it didn't feel like a Saturday night special without an intro by AC/DC.
We never do AC/DC.
Wasn't it a Saturday night special?
That's Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Nothing but.
And
no.
Yeah, and the other one that we do sometimes, the Crying on Saturday Night, that's. Oh, crap. It's Danzig's First Bed. I can't believe I can't think of it off the top of my head. But
I feel like it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, looks like we got Hake in the Telegram chat. There, what is going on, Mr. Hake?
There went the devil internet. Oh, great. We get to get embarrassed in front of James tonight because of our internet. Well, it's a good thing I did keep the intro as short as I did, because that way at least we got that whole thing out before we had an internet reset. I didn't even get to get around to, we have a Tony Castle, but you can all hear that we have a Tony Castle.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I probably would have canceled tonight's show due to the internet problems that I'm having that are so bad right now. Mods, make sure everybody, and let everybody know to refresh every time this happens. There's a big story. It's a thing that we've been talking about off and on because it's been such a topic. And I've been one of the most fair and open-minded people about it. But I got to tell you, I've been growing less and less open-minded as time went on, and I am completely non-open-minded now. And, of course, I'm talking about the whole Patriot Front drama that's been going on. They got their communications and servers and all kinds of stuff leaked again. And if you read the articles that are out about it, it'll give you the impression that this is the second time, but no, it's the second time in 2 years. It's happened a bunch of times. And it highlights a lot of the problems that I've talked about recently about this group and other groups like it, but specifically this group. And I was talking last night and this morning with people, mostly Tony, who had been going through all the server leaks and everything. And oh my God, is it bad? It is really bad. But it's not just bad how much stuff got leaked. It's bad how they've been operating that fucking organization. And it points to really bad stuff. And we'll get into that right now. But before we do, I want to remind everybody to, if you're on here listening without having an Odyssey, make an Odyssey and follow us. Follow the TKR Telegram. If we're able to keep this thing going tonight, we'll be taking calls. And that's how you call in, is on the Telegram. Join Hate Farmers channel. Join Hate Farmers Telegram. And give Nordic Frost a follow on Odyssey and on his Green Room Telegram. And I think that covers it all. I did say follow Tony Castle's channel, right? Well, whether I did or not, there I said it. And, so anyway, you know, it's been a big controversy about Patriot Front. Everybody saying they were feds, and like I said, I had a couple of quick associations with some of them, like 4 years ago, back in 2017, and I tried to stay politic about it and not bring up behind the scenes stuff. But I talked last night about some of the really stupid shit that happened early on that made me stop associating with them. And it turns out that they're still doing that shit. And I thought that I had been under the impression that was given to me by people who were members or whatever, you know, just saying things online that, oh, you know, these were just dumb ideas they brought up. They never did this, but they were doing these things, and it's in these leaks. I'm going to go through, I'm not going to read this whole article because so much of it is just stuff about, oh, racist, fascist, unite the right and all that. And that's not the pertinent stuff.
The good parts.
Yeah. This is a Gizmodo article. Leaked chats reveal evidence of hate crimes by U.S. fascists. Patriot Front members confessed to destroying numerous works of art and private messages. For the second time in as many years, and remember I said that means twice in the last couple of years, they have been like the worst. Them and Identity Evropa / American Identity Movement were the absolute worst about that. They could not, for whatever reason, they were dumb, and they couldn't keep any of their communications private. They had poor member vetting, and they had poor operational security, and their stuff would just get leaked constantly. And it's been going on forever, long after everybody else knew. Don't be on Discord with this kind of shit. Those two groups, they just stayed on Discord, and they'd get their Discord chats leaked and leaked and leaked and leaked, and they just keep operating on there. But anyway, for the second time in many years, American fascist organization Patriot Front is facing a humiliating leak of internal communications messages revealing a trove of evidence pointing to coordinated criminal activities in multiple states, including New York, Washington, Indiana, Virginia, Massachusetts, and Oregon. Now, I'm just reading this. I'm not endorsing any of the legal opinions here. I'm just reading this. Experts consulted by Gizmodo say the material is likely to seriously damage Patriot Front, which the Anti-Defamation League says blah, 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 blah. According to, it goes into the history of them splitting off from Vanguard America and all that. And then it gets to the leak, some 400 gigabytes. And for those of you who don't know, that's more.
It's gotten up to 600 now.
Okay. Well, okay. 600 gigabytes. That's called,
woo-hoo.
That's known as more than just a tiny bit of data. The leak.
Yeah. Yeah.
According to Tony Castle, some 600 gigabytes of data published first on Friday by Unicorn Riot, a nonprofit media outlet that covers far-right, white supremacist, and neo-Nazi organizations, among other topics, offers an unprecedented look at the rewards and reckonings of Rousseau's master plan. The many thousands of pages of internal conversations which originated on internal rocket chat boards for prospective recruits and members. Now, if they did the rocket right, and I don't know if they did, it's my understanding you can go on Rocket and like use Rocket's server, like, and just set it up like you would set up a Discord or something. And if that's what they were doing, then they were dumb. They might as well just stayed on Discord. But I think the reason most people use Rocket is because you can download Rocket software and use it on your own server, which I assume I assume that's what they were doing. And if that's what they were doing, that means that they had feds and or Antifa types that got vetted into their group that were in there. That's what that means.
Two ways you can use Rocket. You can use Rocket as it was designed, which is more of like a business tool, you know, to prevent like corporate espionage.
Yeah.
And then, but it was open source software. So you can download the code for Rocket and make your own separate Rocket where it's not connected to the rest of Rocket.
Right.
So either way.
Yeah. So
was it 60 or 600 gigabytes?
600. It 600. Would have to be because this says 400 here. That's, and Tony says it's
that's a lot of high resolution images of gay kissing.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, it says chat boards for prospective recruits and members depict a group highly focused on the recruitment of ardent nationalists and segregationists and of Hitler worshiping fascists who've grown tired of concealing fantasies of enacting his final solution. See, I don't know about all this, but anyway.
Yeah.
A little bit editorialized.
Right. The internal communications further reveal an organization that, despite having been publicly accused repeatedly in the commission of crimes across the country, namely the defacement and destruction of public works of art that confront and illuminate racial and social inequality. Yeah, bullshit. They're talking about, I believe it was one of their guys who got caught like throwing the paint on the George Floyd statue and stuff. The skateboard guy. I think I read that was one of their guys. I don't know, but another
one was like they were sticking stickers on like the, you know, those green boxes that were like they're like power.
The Transformers. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Things that people stick stickers on all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Did I catch you throwing paint on another statue?
You talking to your kids?
Yeah. I got to keep track of this boy.
Yeah. But anyway, has simply continued, unabated, routinely planning and executing what are essentially hate crimes in spirit, if not under the law, more editorializing. While facing virtually no personal or legal consequences, quote, as our recent actions have shown, we can walk down busy avenues at prime time in Seattle and deface the largest, most well-protected mural in Shitlib Olympia without so much as being accosted once. A member who goes by, I'm not going to give names, you know, even though Patriot Front did not respond to Gizmodo's request for comment about the leak and its contents. Well, good. That's the first smart thing they've done. in the chats, Rousseau and senior members known as network directors who help oversee regionally organized Patriot Front cadres insisted on the importance of regularly conducting actions or offline activity in the service of the group. These acts of so-called activism include stickering and flyering campaigns, spreading the front's propaganda into public places, and installing large banners in highly visible locations. More serious acts of vandalism include defacing murals, memorials, and statues that triggered the racists, including depictions of Martin Luther King Jr. and abolitionist Harriet Tubman, among other art supporting the Black Lives Matter movement and opposing police brutality. The leaks show that Rousseau and his directors were not only emphatic in pushing this kind of activity, but ordered members to film and photograph themselves committing vandalism. Patriot Front leaders not only demanded this media as proof an action occurred, but released it on platforms such as Telegram in an effort to boost recruitment. Now, remember, every time we've talked about this recently, when I would be talking all sympathetic and trying to put the word out there that, hey, guys, if any of you are listening to me and you think my opinion's good, you got to understand that I get it. You're doing all this stuff. It becomes a thing with a life of its own, and you just keep doing this stuff and doing this stuff and doing this stuff because you think, oh, I've got to increase recruitment. I got to do this. I got to do that. But at the bottom of it, there's no good reason for this, right? So I was correct. That they were acknowledging this themselves, that they had to constantly be doing stuff to up their membership.
Well, I had at first thought that too, but as part of what they're talking. They go a step beyond. Like a lot of stuff they're talking about.
That's the next line here. Let me get to it. Yeah. The chats also show, however, that senior members have ulterior motives for enforcing quotas and demanding documentation, ensuring obedience among lower rung members and identifying those reluctant to participate. Those who failed to obey would be tagged as uncommitted, as cowards, or possible infiltrators. You can only retain your membership and prove to your brothers your holding of your beliefs by your efforts in organizing, Rousseau wrote in a primer for new members. Inactive accounts are subject to regular deletion. Despite extensive efforts to shield the identities of members. Now, I see they're saying this, Tony, but as we're going to reveal as soon as I'm done reading the little excerpts of this that I'm going to read here, they weren't concealing them too well. It didn't look like they were really trying. Engaged in criminal activities, including the adoption of fake names, the leaked messages provide sufficient evidence in some cases to positively identify the culprits. One member, who shared his actual name and address in private messages and later revealed he was employed as an engineer in Virginia, openly confessed in the logs to tampering with construction signs stationed alongside roads. A network director who posted under the handle, and this is the same guy, whose identity was first revealed publicly by anti-fascists on Thursday, repeatedly shared links to a private folder containing evidence of criminal activity, videos that were abruptly deleted on Friday, but only after being archived by reporters. And attempts to reach him were also unsuccessful. So, okay, there's smart thing number two you people have done. Logs from November allude to a group quota of at least 10 big actions a month, and indicate that acts of vandalism were recorded by directors in a spreadsheet. They're keeping a spreadsheet of crimes. This insistence on documentation, combined with sloppy InfoSec hosting raw media on unprotected public folders on file sharing sites, for example, means the leak includes dozens, if not hundreds, of videos and photos of members apparently committing crimes. In Olympia, Washington, for example, Patriot Front members vandalized a Respect and Love Olympia mural by covering it up and stenciling the group's name on it. And this is a thing that I noted a few weeks ago. I don't remember if I talked about it on the show, but I saw in someone else's Telegram channel, and they posted it like, oh, what a great thing that they had these stencils, and they were going around spray painting the Patriot Front. They were tagging buildings and public property and stuff with the Patriot Front logo. And I said, look, they can't be doing that. They're going to get themselves in trouble with that. And people were like, oh, but it's got all kinds of other graffiti on there. And I was like, yeah, the Bloods and the Crips and the Antifa and the BLM are all allowed to do this.
Right.
You know, yeah. They're not, you know, but anyway, and stenciling the group's name on it. Numerous pieces of media, including footage of crimes like the Olympia vandalism, were left up as rocket chat attachments or on unsecured mega folders. Many contain metadata that members failed to remove. Can you imagine? They've got these people taking videos and photos, and they don't even have anybody who's like, okay, you know, if you're going to do that, submit those over here and we'll run it through this program that strips the metadata off it so that it doesn't show what phone it came from, where exactly this happened, and what precise time to the second this happened, right?
Right.
So, it's like you have mandatory crimes, right? Granted, I don't think they should be crimes, but they are. You have to commit crimes. It's mandatory. Oh, and also you have to videotape yourself doing it and send it to us.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll take care of the metadata.
They keep it in spreadsheets and load it on fucking unsecured mega NZ folders. That probably the way that this was initially found is some fucking Antifa was probably farting around on mega NZ one day and thought, I think I'll do a keyword search for Patriot Front. Oh, look at this.
You know? Right.
God almighty. I'm laughing, but it's not funny.
The free software that with one click of a button, you can strip the metadata off these files.
There's websites you can just upload. Yeah, but there's free software that's great. And if you want to do it one at a time, there's websites that you can upload your picture to and download your picture, and it strips the shit.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy. I just don't even understand why you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid.
Because you're retarded. That's why. Because you've been doing this for fucking years, and it never occurred to you to find out what the laws are on things like putting up flyers and, you know, oh, well, if I put stickers on a thing and it strips the varnish off the door, or the paint off the sign or whatever, that could be vandalism. Or if we take pictures with our cell phones and we just post them to the internet, why, that identifies who did it and where they were and when they were there and all that, you know. It's how you do this for years and years and years and don't figure this shit out is amazing. But anyway, it says the leak also. The last sentence that I didn't finish. Many contain metadata that members failed to remove and that could prove useful in identifying the culprits should any law enforcement take up interest in the case. I wonder if they will.
Hint, hint.
Nudge, nudge.
I mean, I hope they don't, but of course they will. The leak also puts on display tensions within Patriot Front, ranging from accusations that certain members were incompetent or infiltrators to frustrations with security lapses or their public perception. Fears of being infiltrated are shown to breed paranoia among the front's uppermost ranks. Well, it should, because they were infiltrated constantly. Obviously.
Yeah. Encouraging their members to engage in, like, you know, vandalism and like really obviously like illegal activities.
Yeah, many of whom seemed obsessed over spies lurking in every bush. Constant suspicion weighs heavily over nearly all of the group's decisions, regardless of how mundane. Well, apparently only the really mundane ones, and not the vandalism, not the pictures. Members at camp sites and a potluck gathering, for instance, were instructed to memorize cover stories. We're a youth group hiking these trails. Okay, well, I mean, I don't see anything. That's probably actually reasonable. The text of questionnaires to put to potential recruits was a point of frequent debate by higher-ups determined to find reliable methods of fingering saboteurs. That sounds dirty. Many of those dismissed by the front failed to acknowledge an ethnic component to the nation's problems. Conversely, those who accused wealthy Jews of a global conspiracy to brown down the world's populations were stamped as accepted. This kind of leak is devastating, not only because it lays bare for the world internal maneuvering and gossip, but also more substantial things. Brian Levin, professor of criminal justice and director for the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism, blah, 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 blah. It furthers internal dissension because previously internal but institutionally divisive private communications about members and strategy are now open up to view from the entire membership, along with the rest of the world, for that matter. Many Patriot Front members are displeased, for example, with Rousseau's practice of was one of the things that I was like, what? When I thought, with Rousseau's practice of charging premium prices for official ProMat promotional material like stickers and flyers for use in the mandatory actions. Some referred to their ProMat bills paying for their leader's rent or allowing him to avoid getting a real job. After the December 4th march in D.C., a number of Patriot Front members expressed to each other their anger over accusations from InfoWars Alex Jones, QAnon aficionados, and other conspiracy theorists like Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene that the rally was actually organized by the feds, as they expected Patriot Front members to be fatter. Of all the preposterous claims and smears from the media and peanut gallery, what I cannot suffer without response is being compared to the feds by virtue of physical fitness, one user wrote. Some messages depict Patriot Front leaders, including Rousseau, railing at the incompetence of their recruits and regular violations of the organization's facade of nonviolence. One leader discussed disciplining a member who had ripped a Latino person out of a car. After the December 4th rally, Rousseau complained to a network director from Minnesota of a recruit who had ghosted others relying on him for a ride and delayed the convoy, adding the member in question brought two fully loaded pistols to the event with additional ammunition, including rifle ammunition, and left it unattended. Messages, yeah. And remember, I was kind of talking about that last night, wasn't I, guys?
Caching weapons.
That was the reason that I said, you know, they were talking about, well, it's legal to open carry, so this event that we want you to come join us in, we're going to open carry. And I was like, okay, nope, any firearms, weapons of any kind, and I'm out. And they're like, okay, we won't do it. And then some other leader's like, well, what about if we have a cache of weapons that we keep off site in case we need them? And I was like, okay, bye. See you guys later. Well, yeah, not really. Well, you know,
when it comes to firearms, even if you're doing something as mundane as just going to the range and shooting, do not involve anybody that you met over the fucking internet, no matter how well or how long you've known.
Well, when you're going out and doing some kind of fucking demonstration as
that's like a whole other world.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Well, anyway, messages also show Rousseau directing anger at subordinates after a slew of security lapses resulted in the group failing to detect suspected infiltrators and losing control of potentially incriminating media, as well as several doxes of members on the West Coast. In December, I'm not going to say the name, a network director in Washington State warned Rousseau he was, quote, worried I might get a knock over the Olympia vandalism and that all of us could be prosecuted. Rousseau later shot back of this and other mistakes, such as sloppy InfoSec practices by rank-and-file members, quote, the task of internal NW security and guide enforcement is one I gave to you. It did not happen to anyone. It happened to you. While Patriot Front has a public face, it is a tightly managed organization that makes... this is that Lynn guy, Levin guy, giving opinions. And that's all that's left is opinions. But, Tony, there was a lot of stuff that you were running across in there. But, like, the thing about... like the merch, anybody who was able to hear the replay I did of the Andrew Anglin interview from like back in 2019, I think, we were talking a lot about Jeff Shoup and NSM because it was in the news at that time because Shoup had just run off with, and had a torrid, anti-hate affair with, what's the name of the fat Turk guy or whatever he is with the Italian name that claims he was once a white supremacist.
Christian Piccolini.
Piccolini, yeah. And he was denouncing his hate and everything. and we were talking about how, like, I had known people who told me that they had once been in that NSM and that the reason they left it was because it was constantly just a thing where Shoup was demanding that people buy his stuff, right? He's like, you say... Okay, I'm back. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, all right. And the mods can tell people to refresh or whatever. Let me make sure the stream's still working. But anyway, as I was saying, they would constantly be harangued by Shoup, with them telling them, oh, you say you want to save the white race. You say you want to institute our program and everything, but you haven't bought the latest replica skinhead movie style Nazi dagger. You haven't bought the Street Marcher pin. We've only sold 200 cassettes from the NSM music store this month, and you people talk about you want to save the white race. We've got to sell some more screwdriver tapes, you know, and shit like that. And apparently the grift going on with the merchandise at Patriot Front was something god awful because, Tony, you were saying that it was so bad that members were having to home make their own patches because they didn't want to pay $240 for a Patriot Front shirt, or they couldn't afford to.
Right. They had to buy their own shirts on their own, but they had to buy the patches from the organization, and the patches were like $45, and you would have to have anywhere from 3 to 5 of them on your polo. You could just get like a generic polo, but you would have 3 to 5 of these things on there, and that added up. And some of the people started, you know, using the graphics that were, you know, freely available from them, and they were making their own. And I guess that was a point of contention. Like, don't bootleg our Patriot Front patches, buy them from us at full price.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, they say you've got to do this many actions a month, and the actions have to be done with our official flyers and stickers, and you have to buy those from us. And they were selling those at exorbitant rates too. And, you know, that's just, you're just milking your members. And here's the other thing. Not that I'm saying anybody should have one of these organizations, but if you have an organization like this, the one top priority that should be a never, 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 never is that you never, never, never involve money in the shit. You don't charge money for anything. You don't take dues. You don't sell merch. You don't do any of that, because if you do everything else right, and you don't break any rules, you're totally legal, and you make the tiniest little fuck up about how you do account for that money and shit, buddy, that's how they got Al Capone.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as the resident spaghetti jogger here, it's like, did you learn nothing from us?
Yeah. At any rate, well, it's too bad they didn't take my advice a few weeks ago when this all became such a big topic. And Tony, from the beginning, have I not? I have said that I wasn't accusing these guys of being feds or anything.
Right.
But that they had to, you know, they had to shut this thing down. That if they cared about themselves, but especially if they cared about their members, if they cared about these young guys that were in their organization, they would shut that fucking thing down, and they would wipe whatever server they were on. They would destroy all of whatever records they had while it was still legal to do so. Because once somebody sues you and gets an order for discovery, or some law enforcement gets a warrant or anything, you can't destroy it no more.
Yeah,
that's what we were saying last night. Even just less than 24
hours. Well, I'm saying it now
ago,
still, because I'm sure there's stuff that hasn't been found yet. And if nobody
after we had talked about it, we were still on the show, and I was looking into it a little bit, you know, in the background, and I got quiet on the show because my jaw was just laying on the floor. I couldn't believe what I was looking at, like the absolute fucking irresponsibility of these people collecting this data and just putting it all in one place like that.
They had videos of their people out doing action that had their names tagged to it, and they had on their spreadsheets and stuff with pictures of these people, they were collecting their license plate numbers, and this stuff is all public now. What the fuck did they ever want that stuff for in the first place?
The fucking file names have first name, last initial, location, and then some other, you know, numbers, whatever. I don't really know what that means. But these were the fucking file names on the images that they were posting. Like, you don't even have to look at the metadata to dox these people.
Yeah, and they had...
It was so fucking insane.
And they had all these people's addresses, too, because one of the things you were telling me about was they were sending people over to members' houses unannounced to go inside the house and see what they were up to and shit.
Yep. That was in their, you know, they have text documents, and a lot of that described kind of like, hey, this is what we need to do to, you know, make sure nobody's did nothing funny. Go visit them at their house. Uninvited.
Besides what they're getting up to and the shoddy like OPSEC and all this kind of stuff, why would you want to be in a member of an organization that like drops by your personal residence like unannounced? Like, I don't
know. Like I said, my porch is the border. This is too much for me.
Jesus.
Yeah. And none of it worked anyway, because like, you know, one of the stories that I've pointed to several times was how like their Virginia chapter or whatever, they vetted Antifa into the chapter. And at the time, and this was stuff that was released publicly, all the vetting was you filled out the application on their website, and then Thomas Rousseau would call you and have a phone call with you, and if he approved you, you were in, right? So like, there wasn't any kind of according to what I read, there wasn't any kind of a thing where, okay, you know, we have a talk with you online and then maybe we meet up with you in person and all this other stuff to try to really vet these people out. And they got Antifa. They got Antifa in there, and when they went to do one of their let's pick up the trash and take pictures of ourselves picking up the trash, Antifa showed up like 10-1 and beat the shit out of them, and it was in all the newspapers and stuff.
So you're saying Rousseau's social contract with Patriot Front was as flawed as the original Jean-Jacques Rousseau's document? Like, I don't know. There's a joke in there. I laid it out poorly, but like, ba-dum-bum. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, you know, the social contract. What's crazy to me is that, never mind. I lost the train of thought. I'm sorry.
Well, okay, let me say something here. You're collecting all that data on people. You don't care about those people. You could give a shit about those people. Let me tell you people out there something. And this is the God's honest truth. And if I'm lying, either one of you guys, you call me out right now. I don't even know Hate Farmer's real name. And I don't even know Tony Castle's real name. And I love these guys. And I don't want to know for the time being. I don't want to know. Because me not knowing who they are could potentially protect them. Am I lying, guys? Do I know who you guys are?
No.
And I have told you before, when we first started working together, I told you guys not to tell me, didn't I?
Right. And we have gotten very personal. Like, I feel like all three of us have developed very close relationships, but that is just part of OPSEC.
If I wanted to send either one of them a letter, I would be shit out of luck.
And vice versa. Yeah.
You know, and
it doesn't mean that we don't trust each other. In fact, it actually solidifies that trust.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But to have all these files on these people and all these shoddy practices and all of this, not caring about the fact that you're breaking the law. I mean, not to mention that the overriding theme of the thing that I have said over and over, as a person who has been involved with groups of this genre in the past, but never groups that were out committing crimes and shit like that, you know, there's no reason for them at this time. You cannot give me a reason why it's a good thing to be a member of a group like this and going out and marching and confronting Antifa and demonstrating with the masks on and uniforms and all this shit. There is, what is the fucking goal? We're going to save the white race by blah, 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 blah. There's no blah, blah, blah. As Greta Van Suster, not Greta Van Suster, Greta Thunberg would say.
Thunberg.
No more blah, blah, blah. Because when it comes to, we have to do this because blah, 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 that's all there is blah, blah, blah. mean, you know, we've got to do something, guys.
I get it. And that's what I said on the show last night, is I really, you know, I sympathize, I empathize, I understand the motivation that these young guys have to go out there and do activism. You know, like you're young and idealistic and you have low time preference, or is it high time preference? I can't, I can never keep it straight. You know, you see results now, right? And these young guys who are idealistic and highly motivated, they fall victim to to organizations like this. Like, you know, and it's an easy sell, to be honest, because society's being as fucked up as it is right now. You know, you have lots of easy candidates. It's recruiting is easy. And you got guys that just have, you know, they just want to do something, just want to do something. And I thought that was a really good metaphor that you used last night was, you know, you're
grandpa's,
you're sick. In, well, no, the you're in a darkness, you know, in a cavern, just beyond your reach, you know, like, so what do you
can't
do?
See where it is. Just,
right. And, you know, and they want to do something. Want to, yeah. They want to so move
start
forward.
Running. It's like, well, start running. I don't know. I don't know where the exactly. cliff is. So instead of standing still, I shall start running. But
right.
But yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, it's not that you can't do activism. It's you can't do this kind of activism. I mean, you can do it, but there's no point in it. And not only will it not help anything, it will get you and all your people in trouble and life ruined and all that. If they were concerned about doing activism to help the white race and they had a group of people, the only kind of activism they should be doing is the kind that you don't have to mask up for. They could be training these young guys who are idealistic how to do things like how to show up to city hall meetings and school board meetings and stuff like that and you know, make demands that will sound good to the conservative normies in their town that will help things improve in their area and that will automatically be a networking and respect gaining tool for these young guys that they're showing up getting civically involved. If they wanted to help these guys get in shape and, you know, learn self-defense and stuff like that, they could have been doing that. If they wanted to, help these guys, I don't know, learn how to get a job and go to work and put a paycheck in the bank, whatever it was, they could have been helping them do all this stuff. But sending these guys out to do, misdemeanor and felony vandalism and you know, having them come from all over the country to go to DC and, what, Tony?
That was one of the sad stories I read in this was a guy who, I guess they had some mandatory meetup or protest and the guy couldn't make it and he felt bad and they were pressuring him so hard. Like, no, you have to be here. But, his wife was giving birth in a hospital. So he's like, no, I gotta go be there for the birth of my child. Westgate had harangued him so hard that he made up for it by, purchasing a bus. Apparently it's probably one of these extended passenger vans. You know,
it's probably
like the church bus.
It's probably a salvage short bus from elementary school, well, you know, for the special ed.
From the pictures of the destruction I saw, it looked like it was one of these passenger vans.
Oh, was it destroyed?
It was destroyed. Tires popped, windows broken, oh, lit Antifa on fire. Just,
why? Did they have Patriot Front on it?
No. What this guy did is he bought this van to make up for the fact that he wasn't going to be there.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, you know, good enough. So they take this van and this other guy's name, and apparently Antifa had doxed their vehicle meetup spot. So they show up and they trash the van,
right,
or the bus, whatever, and they totally destroy it. Like, it's unsalvageably destroyed. I'm sure a mechanic probably could have restored it or whatever, but they totally destroyed it and they left it. And then, like, so this poor guy, he's like, I'm sorry, guys. I really hate to bail on this thing, but, you know, my wife's giving birth. I got to go, like, drive them home from the hospital. So here's a van to make up for it. They took that van to some other city. It got destroyed because their location where they were meeting up was leaked. The van got destroyed, and then they just left it there. So this poor guy.
They just left it there. Like,
they left it there, and this poor guy like was just like at a loss for the this whole thing. Like, oh damn, you know. And it was just one of these. Oh, like there's several of these things in this thing, and it's like this is just one bit that I was just like, I cannot fucking believe what I'm reading. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Why would you do this to this person? It's so fucked up.
Talk about like misplaced priorities. You know, it's like here you are actually doing the thing that you know any person in our sphere or you know orbit whatever like should actually be doing is like looking after their family and starting a family. Right. It's like what are you doing? Priority. Are you some kind of F word? Having a family? Go buy us a bus.
Yeah.
Look, one of them baby cucks.
Fuck your kid.
What are you, one of those like white babies efforts?
Yeah, fuck your kid's birth. You're gonna have that kid for the rest of your life, and we have this one chance to go to DC and save the white race.
Yeah. Dude, how are we going to spray paint the monument of MLK without you? You're going to be here.
Look at that, says simp.
Yes, what a fucking simp. I bet you someone called him that too. Like, don't be.
Are you sure? They had to say something to him to get him to buy a fucking van for people that like for like he never even got to ride in.
Well,
I laugh, but it's sad because ultimately what we're talking about is well-meaning guys who've been taken advantage of or just,
right.
You know, naive.
This guy was one of those where they said that there was like some complaints from within the organization of people like getting like taken advantage of and being pressured. It's like this guy was one of those. So, yeah. Rightfully so.
Well, so, were there some other things you were telling me, Tony, that you ran across in the?
Oh, there's just so fucking much. I think we talked about the license plate number.
Yeah.
Gathering, it was like they'd show up to a meetup, and someone would come around and like take pictures of the license plates.
Oh, Jesus.
Why? I don't fucking know. You know, like, so to just go around the parking lot and take the pictures of license plates of everybody that showed up, like, bro, no, what? This whole thing was just so shocking to me. I couldn't fucking believe it.
Well, did they think that it was
VIN numbers? I mean, come on.
Did they
call yourself a legit organization? You don't have VIN numbers.
Did they think that if the person was law enforcement or something, that they could go on publicdata.com and run the license plate and say, oh, look, I pinged him. He's a fed.
I literally don't. That's the irony here is like if you are a fed, you probably like, okay, yeah, come take a look at my license plate. Well, come over to my house. Like,
let me make a definitive.
Whatever will make you more sure that I'm not a fed.
Let me make a definitive statement about this. Whether these guys were actively feds working for the feds or whatever, or not, they are. Because they've done the fucking work for them. They've gone around and they've gotten all this information on these people. They've gotten all these videos and photos of them doing crimes.
Right.
And they have handed it to the whole fucking world. And they
posted it on a public fucking platform without as much as a fucking password.
Yeah.
Like you can upload a mega file and put a password on it, and they didn't even do that.
But I mean, they've got a rocket. They could have put the shit internally in there. What do they need it on a fucking mega file for?
I don't know.
Good Lord.
I don't know.
I mean, couldn't if the rocket wasn't secure enough, couldn't somebody have gone and bought like, I don't know, a $50 Seagate remote drive and just put it all on that? Right. I mean, wouldn't one Patriot front patch pay for that?
You would think. I don't know. The whole thing is like, I'm trying to be as charitable as possible with these people. I really am. But after looking at this
stuff. I don't feel charitable anymore. I tell you, Tony.
No fucking way.
I feel fucked over. And the person who fucked me over is me, because I have tried to be charitable all this time. And just look at the shit that they were up to. And the thing that pisses me off about it is, I am not a guy who is going to go after people, you know, on the far right of things or the pro right of things or anything like that, for no reason. And I never went after these guys, but ever since they became a topic months ago again, and people would ask me about this stuff and everything, the only time that I would get a lot of pushback from angry comments and people posting dislikes on my videos and stuff like that was when the topic would come up, and I would very kindly say that I had met these guys and they seemed like good guys and everything, but in my opinion, it's not good to have this group, and they should immediately disband this group and, you know, destroy, you know, wipe their servers and destroy their whatever files they have and all this stuff for this reason and this reason and this reason. And these fucking people would just, oh, but you're such a fucking cuck. You just blah, 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 blah. We've got to do something. And you're out here telling people not to do anything and all this shit. And look what has happened. Look what has happened.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that, like, when we talk about this story and we laugh about it and we kind of like excoriate them, to keep in mind is that there's like, who knows what the proportion is, but like, it's mostly good guys, well-intentioned, good guys, our guys, who got caught up in something that was poorly led, ill-conceived, and, you know, hopefully they don't suffer any consequences, but you know what?
It sounds like this organization was up to...
Yeah, I mean, we could hope that, everyone kind of like us...
Well, all the people screaming, all the people on the right who've been screaming that they're feds, here's the thing, and I'm not saying I hope they get charged with a bunch of stuff. If I had my way, I'd be like, look, you guys shut your thing down, and maybe they'll be like, okay, no harm, no foul, and that'll be the end of it. That's what I would want, right? I would want them not to get charged with stuff. And not ruin all these guys' lives. But,
of course.
But if they don't get charged with anything after all the evidence of all this stuff is out there, the people on the right who have been calling them feds or Fed Run or whatever, their voices are going to be amplified times 10. They're all going to be 1,000 times more suspicious of them, and you can't blame them. It's going to be like a neo-Nazi, to use the vernacular of the NPC. It's going to be like a neo-Nazi version of Ray Epps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. And the reason, you know, it's only been a couple days, but the only reason that these people's lives aren't ruined yet, if they aren't, is because so many people were doxxed all at once that they just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah. Well, either that or, I mean, when you think about it, when they are just over and over and over encouraging people to do things that they know damn well are crimes, that maybe somebody is compromised. And maybe they have just been milking this thing for all it's worth. And maybe the leak was something that, you know, the people running it might have hoped hadn't happened so soon so that they could just get everybody.
And, you know, if you'd asked me this 3 days ago, I probably would have been like, well, you know, we don't know that for sure. But at this point, after seeing this and just the level of irresponsibility of the leadership here, I'm sorry, I'm giving them no fucking benefit of the doubt. They lost that. They lost that for me. Sorry, maybe I'm wrong, but it'd take a hell of a fucking lot to convince me that these people are not compromised at this point.
Yeah.
They're
absolutely compromised. We know they're compromised from the existence of the leaks, right? And, they're at the very least the most charitable explanation is that through poor vetting, they allowed Antifa types into their groups enough to get in their servers and know what they were doing. And we know for a fact that they did this because of the Virginia incident, right? And, And one has to wonder, I mean, if some young guy came to me and he said, I'm thinking about joining Patriot Front, the first thing I would say was, dude, no, look at what's going on. I mean, there could be feds running that thing. You know, we don't know who's running that thing. I'd be like, look at what they're doing.
Dude. Don't ever talk to me again.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like the real kicker, too, is like, you know, the doxing has been so all-encompassing because they have just a wealth of information about its members. And the reason, I guess, Tony, you probably definitely know more about it than I do. Like, the whole reason they had all this information was ostensibly to be, like, for good ops, operational security. You know, they wanted to know all these things about these people to keep them safe. And yeah. It's like, oh.
Dude,
these dumbasses who run little local clan groups and stuff have so much better OPSEC that are full of feds, right? They have so much better OPSEC than them. I remember when Anonymous back in 2015 or 2016, when they did their Op KKK thing, the media contacted some guy that was the head of some KKK thing in the Southeast, and they said, are you worried that they've hacked your stuff? And he's like, no, because like the only files or information that we have or anything is on a computer hard drive that is not now and has never been connected to the internet.
Yeah, that's the bar you fell under.
Oh, shit. Out-obsected by the clan. Holy shit. Yeah. What's the joke about the clan? Is like you get a clan meeting and like 9/10 of them are feds or something like that.
It's like 6 agents, 3 informants, and 1 true believer.
Honestly, though, like I feel terrible about what's happening.
I do too.
Because
am I supposed to cry about it like, after I have been warning and warning and warning about this?
No, I don't know. I just.
I'm not crowing about it. I'm not going, look at me. I'm so right. Yay. Ha, 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 ha. In your face, Patriot Front. Not at all. But, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's if we had our way, Patriot Front would be a million man organization that could do.
Okay, Tony.
You know, I wonder,
Tony. Tony, you were saying
internal documents of them like talking back and forth, like, "Hey, these guys."
In case you guys didn't realize, we dropped out. And Tony, you were saying, I don't know if I agree with this, but you were saying if we had our way, they would be a million man organization. And that's when we cut off. So,
well, you know, being an organization like that wouldn't. You wouldn't have to worry about being doxxed. You could just do something like that, you know. But it's we don't control this country. Yeah,
no, we don't. And
we live in reality, and it's not that way.
Well, and also, I mean, one thing that we've got to understand is that, you know, one of the arguments for having groups like this is because of how it imitates the other side in a certain way. Is that depending on how the group operates, it's either like the right wing or pro white version of, you know, the civil rights movement, where you're going out and expressing your grievances of being discriminated against and and advocating for your rights, or it's a right-wing adjunct to Antifa where they go out in the street, you know, like say Proud Boys or something like that, where we're going to go out in the streets, and when these leftists come out and start their crap, we're going to be there and we're going to take care of that, you know, and all like this. And the thing you don't understand is none of this stuff works for us because we don't have any institutional power. And if you think that the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s or the Antifa and BLM of the 2010s and 20s did not have massive institutional power, you are literally an NPC. Because yes, that's the narrative that the media tells you, is like, oh, these poor, powerless blacks who marched across the Birmingham Bridge, and oh my God, the right, German shepherds, right, and the fire hoses and all this. They had complete institutional power. They had the government on their, yeah, side. They had the president on their side. They had the attorney general on their side, and they had the entire world media on their side. And you, yeah, have all these things 100% against you. And so when you decide that you're going to model what you're trying to do in their image because it worked for them, you are a retard. And let me make one more point. The other thing, and this is a thing that it took me a long time to wrap my mind around too, and this is not a battle of flesh and blood the way everybody thinks that it is. This is a spiritual battle. Our enemy, just like it says in Ephesians, and hey, Farmer, you can be an atheist and be in total agreement with me on this. I'm not shilling religion here, but you know, I'm coming at it from this angle because this is my belief of it. It's powers and principalities are what we fight against. And you don't fight against it by impersonating and aping the minions of those powers and principalities. If you're going to fight a spiritual battle, you have to fight it with the tools that are necessary for that spiritual battle. And that is your words, your thoughts, your deeds, and a lot more. You know, Alex Jones has it way more right than any of these people do. When Alex Jones coined the term InfoWar, buddy, if he ever got anything right, he got that right. And I'll shut up. I know you were wanting to say something, Abe Farmer.
No, that's well put. I really just, yeah, I wish people would internalize and really understand what it means to be a dissident. You cannot adopt the methods and means of your opponent because your opponent is the establishment. You know, you don't, you're truly the underdog. You cannot, you know, go stage street activism in the way that Black Lives Matter or Antifa does, because that is an expression of the power or the will of the establishment. You are not in the establishment. You are a dissident. You have to conceal your thoughts, your motivations, your true identity, everything. You are the absolute underdog. And to be a dissident is to live a double life.
Right. And I kind of picked this up in my days in, you know, the Occupy movement was, you know, we go to these protests and sit around and, you know, smoke weed, not do anything. But, you know, there was always the sense of like, oh, we're rebelling, we're doing something, we're dissident. And I had no fucking idea how off the mark I was until I got into further and further right wing politics. When I realized, like, oh no, this is where, now I'm over the mark. This is where you catch the flack from, right. And even back then, and I'll give it to Alex Jones. He's the first time, and this was, you know, back in the early, or man, I guess maybe late aughts, the first time I'd heard the term COINTELPRO, and this was, you know, people, feds and cops, undercover cops, showing up to, you know, some of these demonstrations and acting a fool and making everybody look bad. You know, experience like that, if you carry it over into dissident right stuff, it's you, and then you see it kind of play itself out here. It's the same. It's like the feds were just it was a smooth transition for them. It's probably smoother than it was for me. But if you don't have that type of background, that type of experience with these people, you have no idea what you're getting into. You could think like, oh, well, I'm not doing nothing wrong. I'm just putting up some stickers and this and that. Like, what do I have to worry about? But you don't understand.
I'm exercising my rights. I'm an American.
Right. That's right. I thought this was America. You know?
Did you now?
Yeah. Well,
what a harsh awakening you've got coming. Let me throw a little ice water on you. You know, but yeah, I guess we'll, guys, if you have them, sum up your final thoughts on this, and then after both of you do, I will as well, and we'll go to break, and we'll come back and talk about some more fun stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead, Tony. You go first.
My thoughts are, you know, I feel uncomfortable because whenever somebody gets doxxed, I always feel my knee jerk is like, don't do that. Like, I don't like doxing, and I don't ever like to celebrate anybody being doxxed, even when they're people that I don't like. And Patriot Front was not under that category. So I feel bad, you know, with that. But if you're curious about the stuff and just how insane it is, you know, go check out the Unicorn Riot.
If you're going to let me throw this in there. If you're going to do that, open up Brave and click on the thing and do it through open new tab with Tor. Even if you're using a VPN, I mean, they do look
up your ISP when you access that site.
Not only that, Unicorn, they can see your cookies.
Yeah, Unicorn Ride, and it's going down. That's like the Ebola hot zone of the internet. You need much protection.
Don't go there without the gas. You need the hazmat suit to go there.
But yeah, go ahead. Well, did you have something else, Tony? I interrupted you there.
Oh no, I was just saying, if you doubt anything we're saying, honestly, this stuff will take weeks to go through. I just, like, you know, 600 gigabytes of like little videos and drill, like it's so insane. And part of me wants to like not draw attention to it, but I think it is at this point just so fucking egregious that you really should just see what an example of horrible, horrible, irresponsible decision making these people have pulled off. It's mind fucking blowing.
Yeah.
Tony, don't go flying in small aircraft or driving Mercedes. Like, we can't lose you.
Right. Okay. Hey, Farmer, it's your turn.
I just feel terrible for the rank and file. You know, the youthful exuberance. I keep saying that. Just the young people. Really, the blame falls on the leadership, the people who are responsible for organizing the OPSEC and the national sort of organization. These people are completely irresponsible and careless, and
selfish.
You know, selfish. Yeah. So I think that they were just exploiting the goodwill and willingness for younger people to like put their bodies on the line. You know, they're brave and excited, and they want to take part in something. And you know, people took advantage of that and were careless and reckless with their operational security. And in fact, not just the OPSEC, just organizing and doing what they did. To be honest, I mean,
we've all talked about something they don't want to do or feel comfortable with. That's the most fucking horrible part of this whole thing, is a lot of these firsthand accounts of these guys, like, I don't want to do this. This is scary. I don't feel safe. And they pressure them into doing it anyway. That's too fucking much.
That's terrible.
And that's pressure terrible. And knowingly had them doing illegal things. Yeah. So does that sum up your summation, Hate Farmer?
Yeah, I have deep compassion, sympathy, and understanding for the younger guys, like, desire to do something. And it's just, you know, when you join an organization, you are putting your fate in the hands of the people who have organized it, and you're trusting that they know what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And it turns out that these guys really didn't. You know, hopefully. It was just carelessness and stupidity on their part, and it wasn't something more malicious. you know. But, you know.
Yeah, but
unfortunately, I mean, we're going to see all this play out in broad daylight, so we'll know exactly what the motivations of the people who are responsible are.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's my final summation on the thing. I'm not a mind reader. As both Hate Farmer and Tony have just said about themselves in their own way, that they're not mind readers. I don't know if these guys were feds or not. And as far as their motivations go, I can't read their minds about that either. I can only judge or discern by what I see, but I can't know for sure. What I do know is that all of this was very, very bad. And what I do know is I wish that they would have had the foresight and the understanding of the changing cultural and political waters to get this vessel off the high seas way before they did, which apparently they still have not. They need to get that thing into dry dock and dismantle it.
Scuttle it.
Immediately. Yep. Yep. They need to destroy it. They need to destroy everything. And as far as... But here's the important thing. You know, there's nothing that we can do now that will help the guys who are already ruined by this. But to all of you out there who are hearing my voice, don't join these kind of groups. And one of the ways that you need to be discerning about who you're associating with is look at what they allow. Like, you know, I have my little online things. I've got the Telegram that anybody can join. We've got our show and our chat and stuff like that. And we try to keep it a fun and comfortable place for people to come to. And I have the most crack commando legion of Modwaffen that if somebody comes in and says something that even hints at illegal or violent acts, they are gone so fast that you never knew they were there. And, you know, you can come in and you can talk about any ideas you've got. You can have any opinions you want and all like that. But we are not allowing people to say and do things that will get them and the other people in those spaces in trouble. And if you think that there is anywhere that you can be, even if you have your own private server in somebody's basement and you have your own thing set up on that, if you think there's anywhere that you can be and you can be talking about committing crimes and all this other stuff and that it's not going to get out, you are wrong. Everything that is hidden shall be revealed. And I am not saying to everyone that, oh, all we all have to run to the country and build a bunker and hide in it and wait for everything to fall apart. Of course not. We need to be engaged members of our society and remember that we're the good guys. But in summation, I would like to make 2 points. And I'm pretty sure that most of you have heard these points before. They are not my points. They are points that were made by someone much greater than me long ago. Be in the world, but not of the world. And also, he that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. A little something to think about. All right, let's do our housekeeping, and we'll go to break and come back and talk about more fun stuff. Make sure that you have set up an Odyssey account and you're following this channel. Make sure that you're following Hate Farmer's Dutchland channel here on Odyssey and his Dutchland Telegram. Make sure you're following the official Crypto Report Telegram. And while we're at it, I'm told James Hake is listening. Shout out. Mods can post his Telegram as well and his Odyssey channel. Follow that. That is one of the best shows. I am addicted. I listen every day, and I'm in the chat every day, both him and Jesse Lee Peterson. Make sure you're following Tony Castle here on Odyssey. The tip button is down there. I'm not sure if anybody's taken advantage of that yet. No, dude, nobody has taken advantage of the tip button. What's wrong with you people? All right. And I guess with that, we are going to take our break. And we have a more classic piece of music by the same Beethoven, Mozart, Meatloaf, Tear artiste who made that original music for our intro. We're going to play a classic piece of his music here on the break. And of course, this is a TKR exclusive. So enjoy, guys. We'll be right back.
The Crypto Report will be right back.
So, you two are working together now?
Well, no. We just felt that there were certain points of agreement on this particular topic.
Look, Richard, and I don't agree on everything, okay? We're obviously very different. I'm just a regular, salt-of-the-earth guy from Texas. Worked for everything I got. Richard was basically born with a silver spoon in his ass. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying we were raised differently. I was never a mama's boy. That's on record.
I'm not gay.
Lying media scum motherfuckers!
Alex Jones and Richard Spencer, 1776, marching down in old Virginia. Alex calling Richard a bitch. He drives a Prius, it's Dionysus, but time's come to fill your hand.
Remember the Alamo!
Ah! As a son of a bitch, as a son of a bitch, as a son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the Crypto Report.
Yeah. Thank you, Joy. We are back, are we not? Tony, are we back?
I'm back.
Hey, Farmer, are we back?
I never left.
Ah, very good, very good. Yeah, how can you leave when MG75 is spitting straight fire? You know? Oh, speaking of which, well, I don't know why I say speaking of which. Well, because of Richard Spencer, yeah. Was it last night that Richard Spencer debated that Mr. Girl, or it wasn't even a debate. It was like a friendly, polite conversation on.
Oh, yeah. On, I mean, they have so much in common.
Yeah.
What do they have to argue about?
Well, the thing is, here's what I thought was funny. Richard Spencer went on network television and said that I was disgusting and obscene, I think was his words. But he can sit there and have a fun, for him, I'm sure, a fun, friendly, polite, non-confrontational conversation with a literal very admitted cordial, Jewish
very polite.
Yeah, a literal admitted Jewish pedophile. And I felt so sorry for Ralph. I went back and I tried to watch some of it, and I think at the end of about 3 minutes, I was like, I feel like I'm overdosing on fentanyl or something here. I'm going to go into a coma. It was so horrible. And you can see Ralph just sitting there like with, or Ethan with this look on his face, like, I think I'm dying slowly inside.
What have I done?
Like, why did I schedule these two? Why didn't I just take calls for 4 hours or something?
I know.
It was the worst. And that's not a reflection on Ethan. It's a reflection on this Mr. Girl and
the chemistry.
And Richard. Oh, yeah. I mean, if MG75 wants to do another song, he needs to, like, go find some Air Supply, All Out of Love type thing and write a song about Mr. Girl and Richard Spencer.
You know what's great too is when Spencer took, I don't know at what point he did this, but he like made a hard pivot and said, you know, I'm just like charting my own course. I sort of play the flute, the skin flute, as I desire. I'm not, you know, I'm not playing music to the orchestra of someone else, implying that he like, you know, he's like an independent thinker. You know, what is he doing? What is he doing? He's still on. I love Ethan Ralph. I love that guy. I listen to him all the time. But it's like, what are you doing on the Ralph retort? You know what I mean?
Either one of them.
Yeah. Right. He's just like, you know, one of these homosexuals that is you know, has like a scatological fetish and just wants to get shit on constantly, apparently.
Well,
but you know, like, because you know, he has this like this air, right? Yeah. You know, he's an intellectual, he's a sophisticated person, and he doesn't, you know, like he's not gonna like, you know, indulge in like this lowbrow stuff, but then he goes on the number one lowbrow, like, you know, muck-picking podcast there is. It's like, bro, like, why aren't you on someone else? Why aren't you on NPR?
Yeah,
you know, so I don't know.
He's got the voice attention for it, right? He's got that NPR voice. But you know, the thing is, like, if you're gonna if you're gonna have a guy like Mr. Girl on, the person who you put against him has got to bring the fire. Like, oh, nobody would bring the fire like I would. You know, I mean, if I got on there and Mr. Girl's like, okay, so would I have to be removed from your ethno state because I'm 3/8 Jewish? I would be like, buddy, If you
wouldn't have been out alive.
you put me in charge, and you are going to find yourself in a bog next to the director of that Cuties film that you love so much.
You better be gone before that happens.
I mean, this guy's coming on Ethan. Vincent James did a way better job, but I mean, even he didn't have the bloodlust for the battle like I would have if I went in there. I mean, that's his style. I'm not criticizing. Vincent James did a really good job, but he came on and he was like, okay, yeah, but before we get started, I want to make sure, are you the guy who said how hot the 11-year-olds right. and Cuties were? And I was, and he's like, yes, I said that. Is there a problem with that? Do you have a problem with the First Amendment? And I would be like, yes, your First Amendment is revoked, Satan.
I think the First Amendment is reserved for people who deserve life.
Yeah.
I think I was listening to the Vince debate, and I think he was just dumbfounded at the level of degeneracy that this guy just had openly admitted to. He was just like, I don't even know what to do.
What is it with people who are trying to mainstream legitimize pedophilia, where they get hung up on numbers?
Well,
15, 16.
Well, this guy couldn't even do the thing like Milo did when he said, oh, I wasn't talking about pedophilia. I was kind of pushing pederasty. That's different. This guy couldn't even do that because he was straight up talking about 11-year-olds. And so we're talking prepubescent children. God, I mean, he's literally dictionary definition pedophile. And
when Vince was debating him, it came to a peak when Vince asked him if he's like, are you white? And he was like, I'm half Jewish or whatever. And Vince was just like, oh, okay,
there it is.
Well, I don't know. Okay, right. all previous biases confirmed.
Right.
Yeah, I don't believe the 3/8 thing either. I'm physiognomy tells the tale. But
that's the other thing too. Is like
he doesn't even make it past the Nuremberg laws, which I always considered extremely liberal and easy.
Right.
Sorry, Hate Farmer. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't even like. I feel uncomfortable getting in this arena. It's like, obviously, young women are attractive, right? And then you get these guys trying to split hairs about well, what is a young woman, and this guy, I heard the first, I think it was 20 minutes of the debate between Vince James and Mr. Girl. He was Mr. Girl was saying, oh, well, they've done studies and stuff. Metrics say 13, 14-year-old girls because they like younger girls. And it's like, dude, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Young women are attractive, but you got to be
sure.
And any woman that's not at least, I mean, at 20 and up, I mean, they have this whole idea they're fertile, they're biologically capable of having children, therefore they're fair game. It's like, bro, you're not talking about having kids with them, are you? You're talking about something else.
Yeah. Well,
it's like if there's grass in the field, play ball. It's like, no, fucking first of all, women are obnoxious, and the younger they are, the more obnoxious they are.
Yeah.
But a woman is not a woman until they're at least in their early 20s. It's a thing with both sexes now
because every generation that comes along, and I'm not saying mine was totally part of this, the way that they're raised and coddled and everything, the men and the women are still children well into what's legally considered adulthood.
Right. Yeah.
But, I do think that couples should be getting
angle about talking about what should be legal, they're able to reproduce. Well, you're not interested in having kids with them, are you?
If James is still, I have a good example of this. If James is still about the hair splitting thing, if James is still in the chat, he'll remember this. I can't think of the guy's name, but he's the host of the Hippy Dippy debate show or whatever it's called. Dylan Burns, that's his name. And he's this bisexual, which I say bisexuality is fake. If you have sex with a man, you're gay. Or not even gay, you're homosexual. But he's like, I don't know, 19, 20 years old, something like that. And he's a Democrat, strategist, activist for Zoomers and all this stuff. And he was, he brought up something about Ted Nugent, where he said, like, it was so horrible that when, you know, in the 70s, when Ted Nugent was a young adult, that he married a 17-year-old. And he was like, oh, and I guess he acted like that was okay and not illegal or something because he got the parents' permission. And I went and Googled it because this guy was assuming that in every state, the age of consent, where you can consent to have sex, consent to get married and all like that's 18. And I knew that it's not, because in Texas it's 17, right? And so I looked it up and I said, well, and I sent a super chat to James and I said, in Michigan, Ted Nugent's home state, 17 is the legal age of consent. And he mentioned that to Burns and he was like, oh, well, it should be changed to 18. And I'm like, what is all this hair splitting? I mean,
So basically Ted Nugent got permission from the father or mother as an act of courtesy. Wow.
Right.
Imagine that.
Right. And he was saying that he basically bought this woman. But which I'm like, I'm not sure that's such a bad thing, because like I see these pictures of course I know the mail order bride thing is a total scam. If you're rich and you do that, they're going to come over here long enough to get their visa. They're going to divorce you and take everything you've got. But like, if it was a straight up thing, like it should be, where like, yeah, could I buy me one of these Ukrainian women or chick? I mean, I'll treat her good. I'll marry her. She'll be my wife and stuff, but I want to buy her. You know? She can't divorce me, you know. But seriously, this thing about the splitting hairs, and like, I'm with you, Hate Farmer. Like, I don't think that.
Years of your age, you know, we would like, but with
me, okay, like, okay, a girl, guys, wait a minute. The people listening, like on Telegram, were the only people who were hearing you, so we've got to go back to where we were when that stopped. I was saying that, you know, I don't think that, like, under most circumstances, that it's a good idea for an older guy to be going and finding some 16 or 17 year old to marry. Don't get me wrong about that. I do think that young people, it would be a lot better if, you know, as they were doing just a couple of generations ago, if young people were getting married right out of high school and having children, if society was set up for it like it was then, where, you know, they're expected, when they get pregnant and all this, they're expected, for the most part, they're expected to get married and then get pregnant. But, you know, once they're pregnant and married and all this, they're expected to go out and, you know, get a job and get a house and have kids and everything, because it's like an instant maturation thing, right? That you got to grow up when it happens.
Like, and it's good. A 21-year-old man marrying and having children with like a 16-year-old girl isn't predatory.
Even a 23 or 24-year-old marrying a 17-year-old, right? It's not a big deal.
Right.
But, but this splitting hairs about, oh, 17's too young, they've got to be 18. Now, come on, man. That's a weird thing.
Well, yeah. When you were, you dropped out, and I said that, like, you know, when I was 16, I slept with 16-year-old and 15-year-old girls, and the only reason was because I couldn't sleep with older girls. You know,
yeah.
I wasn't oh, I got to get me an 8-year-old, 13-year-old. It's like, no, I was like, I really wish I could get me some of that 22-year-old poon, yeah, but you know, they're not with me. So I just don't understand. And this whole idea, like, of always. The bar, like, you know, hedging the hair, legalistic hair splitting. They reach maturity age, or they can consent in this particular state at this age. You know, why are you doing that? Like, what?
Well, it's like what you were saying earlier. You're not trying to have children with her. You know, like if you are older man and you actually want a wife and girl, okay, that's one thing. But if you're going at it just because of some fetishistic perversion, like, I really don't have anything against that, as long as you, like I said earlier, like, don't fuck around with the law. I don't care if you're 18 and a half. Don't fuck around with girls that are, you know, 2 years younger than you.
Because 3 years is what most states is. If the girl's underage and you're more than 3 years older than her, then the statutory rape applies to you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't fuck with the law. And it really is, you know, naturally men want to be with younger women. That's fine. But, you know, when you start getting into your mid to late 30s, you know, just leave those young girls for the young men. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I don't blame you if that's what you're going for.
If, as long as it's legal, do what you want, I guess. Who am I to tell you? But just like for my own self, you know, I'm middle-aged, and I have said, and I stand by this, I see no reason to be, like, in a relationship with a woman unless part of that relationship is that we're going to try to have children. But that doesn't mean that if I were able to, I would go out and try to find me an 18-year-old. What the fuck am I going to do with an 18-year-old, sit around and be like, dude, what's that shit you're listening to?
Be miserable.
You're
be miserable.
Like, no, I don't.
Fuck your shit up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, in my case, I think it would be perfectly reasonable, you know, to marry some woman in her early to mid 30s or whatever, if she was willing, or, you know, if I could twist her arm or whatever. And if I could trick her into it and, try to produce an heir or two, that would be nice. But like I say, you know, if it's legal and everybody's willing, then, you know, it's up to your judgment what you think you want to do. But yeah, I mean, the post-pubescent girls, you know, they are attractive, as far as, like, if you go to a high school football game in some small town, the varsity cheerleader squad, I mean, anybody who's a heterosexual who says, oh, those girls are unattractive, they're totally not sexy, is a liar, right? But to be sitting there and be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I think I'm going to try to get me one of them girls. Let's have a booze and pills party and see if we can get them cheerleaders over there. You know, then you're crossing lines, right? But let's get to an actual story here. Well, since we're... Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to mention, like, in the first, like, 5 minutes of the debate with... Vincent James and this Mr. Girl, unless I'm misconfusing, like, two different debates, it's like they talk about, like, a fertility and the ability for the woman to have a child, but then they bring up statistics about, like, you know, like, dating or something like that. It's like, or no, that's what it was. It was strippers.
Mm-hmm.
This Mr. Girl guy said it was... Where did a guy to heard this? He said it was like 15. He claims that, yeah, that's a very strong right arm you got, son. Do you want to say who you hate?
I hate the Antichrist.
Yeah, very good, very good.
That's right.
I hate the Antichrist. I hate the Antichrist. I hate the Antichrist.
Okay,
that's right.
The boy's being raised right.
I lost my train of thought. He's talking about, like, reproduction, like, you know, a biological process. And then Oh, I completely lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Well, I think he was talking about like cyborg or robot strippers. Like, would you have a problem with if strippers were like modeled after an underage girl? Would that be fine?
No, they were talking about robots. Yeah.
Yeah.
If they made a robot that looked like an 11-year-old, and would that be okay? And I'm like, no.
Right. Because you know that it's wrong to bang an 11-year-old. You're just trying to take the wrongness out of it by making her a robot. There's no 11-year-old girl robots. And if there are, you should be put to death for producing these things.
Bog.
You
know, like, bog.
Fuck you.
When I was a teenager, like banging teenage girls, you know, like it's really nice. I'm banging this chick that's my own age, but what I really want is that chick in that.
Yeah. You know, girls my own age didn't know how to kiss.
Yeah. All right. Enough of this. Listen, enough of this amateur degeneracy. Let's get to the real degeneracy. We're going to do one more story.
No.
We're going to do one more story, and then we're going to read super chats and take calls. And let me tell you, people are hurting my feelings. There are no super chats in to read. So you better get them in now, because after this story, that's what we're going to is super chats and calls. The story, Tony Castle, linked me this story, and I have to admit that for my own sanity, I have not looked at it yet, but just from the preview, I knew that this was going to be something that fit right in. This is from metro.co.uk, from the opinion section. And this is written by some sort of trans goober named William Cuthbert.
Oh, no.
As a trans, if you're a trans anything, M to F, F to M, whatever, don't have a name that's got the word cut in it. It's just bad taste, if you ask me. Anyway, as a trans man, I went online for advice about masculinity. It didn't go well.
Didn't you think?
A trans man, correct me if I'm wrong here, but a trans man is a female who is transitioning into some sort of faux male, right?
Right.
Okay.
Whatever they are, whatever the what's in print, if you put trans before it, they are the opposite. So it's a woman.
Well, it's like Ben Shapiro says, when you take a good thing and you put a bad modifier in front of it, you turn that whole thing into something bad. Judeo-Christian. Anyway, so okay, so here's the opinion piece by William Cuthbert. I find myself in the tricky position in the first weeks of hormone replacement therapy, searching for ways of looking more guy-like while I wait for the testosterone to kick in. But when Googling for guidance, one of the top results is WikiHow with some, let's say, questionable ideas. In an article,
hang yourself, F word. That's what he got.
Well, if you want to present as male, when you attempt suicide, do it with a firearm and not a bottle of pills. Okay, so anyway, in an article on how to pass as male, there are plenty of tips I'm fine with. Shaving my face free of peach fuzz, getting a barber's haircut, and wearing men's clothes. All things I already adopted. It's when I scroll further down that I start to get suspicious. Take up space rather than trying to appear unobtrusive, I'm told. But I look at the illustration accompanying this nugget of wisdom, and it's someone in the act of manspreading. Manspreading!
No!
As in sitting in a way that takes up three seats on the train and making everyone nearby feel uncomfortable. I'll stick to crossing my legs, thanks, and not forcing others to retreat. Then comes another classic. The firm handshake. There's a note to make sure the hand isn't held for too long to avoid it becoming awkward, red, gay. But I'm assured that this is an important side of masculinity.
I'm also advised that men smile less often than women. Speaking in a monotone is apparently a bonus. All this goes to suggest that men should always project dominance and not express their emotions. Okay, everything that I've read so far begs the question, why didn't she just stay a woman?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yes, on all these things. Like, it doesn't sound like you actually enjoy being a man at all. Yeah.
But this is a toxic idea of heteromasculinity being perpetuated in guidelines for trans men who will likely have had some unpleasant run-ins with alpha males. Oh, and if... Let's hope you have many more.
I can elaborate on this. If you've ever met one of these people, they are very aggressive and very in your face. And I've had for a rare demographic in this country, I shouldn't have had more than one run in with one of these female to male transgenders in your face saying, what are you afraid to hit me? Are you they're very aggressive. And you know what? Like, I didn't do it, but I could see why a man might punch one.
Yeah, but if you do, you're going to get convicted of hate crime, no matter how many times they tell you to do it. Well, you know,
that's because I'm a smart man, so I avoided that. But
these ideas of masculinity also harm men who aren't queer or trans. Enforcing them is an unhealthy norm. No, sorry, lady. This is how men are supposed to be. For balance, I looked at the how-to's site's advice for trans women. Where appearance is concerned, the shaving and plucking of every stray hair and striving for a flattering outfit are in line with what many cisgender women will be used to. Yet when it comes to the section on adopting feminine behaviors, there's encouragement to empathize with others, to be accepting and assertive in a gentle way. Call me a silly feminist, but shouldn't practicing empathy, sensitivity, and acceptance be advised for literally everyone? Am I being given a free pass not to display these qualities? Maybe these articles assume that trans men will have a more developed sense of compassion, while trans women might need to be reminded. Well, now wait a minute. Are you saying that there's a difference between men and women? Did you just inadvertently? Okay. I saw myself as female.
You're not supposed to notice that part.
I saw myself as female for over a decade of my adult life. Okay, so this person is so insane that they just considered themselves a woman, which they are, a female, until she was at least 28, right? Because she's saying for a decade of her adult life.
Yeah.
So I'm able to see my gender expression from both angles. I aspire to be more confident and take up more space. But I've also been made to feel small, sometimes because of my apparent femininity. If I had a pound for every time someone said they were afraid they'd hurt me if they hugged me too tight, well, I'd have savings instead of cobwebs in my bank account. It's something I would never want to inflict on anyone else. So I'm bringing all the empathy I've learned from being female presenting to my identity as a trans man. I will keep being sensitive and loving towards others and myself, because I believe that being confident, caring, and emotionally open is a powerful thing and a potent message to others. Coming to terms with my anger at being intimidated, at being groped for so much of my life, opened me up to feeling sympathy for my bullies, aggressors, and the people who stood by and watched. Oh, yeah, I'm sure this happened 1,000 times. I'll bet you everywhere she went, some dude came up and just started pawing on her breasts and vagina, and a bunch of dudes like walking by were like, "Hey, good job, man. That's funny. Hey, I think I'll save some of that for me."
Judging by these pictures, that probably wasn't much of a problem.
No. I know now the antidote for such toxic behavior. It isn't taking up space. It's not a firm grip, nor more hostility. It's finding the tenderness to see through these harmful actions and taking a stance of compassion against them.
I don't want to be the person wielding my gender as a power play. That isn't the kind of man I am. Yeah, reality check, you're not a man at all.
Yeah, and none of this would be a problem if you were.
Yeah, and perhaps I could never have aspired to that anyway, as someone who is defined by my lack of masculine attributes as opposed to someone born with them. Instead, I'm going to use my transness for the challenge it poses, the test of proving my worth as a man with the gentleness I learned as a woman. Yeah, good luck with all that shit.
Yeah, all I got to say about that is, like, bitch, you don't got no ball. You can take up one seat on the bus.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's all of it here. I've never, like, you know, like, as a man, I expect a man to have a firm handshake, and if he doesn't let go of my hand right away, I'm like, bro, what the, like, why are you being gay? You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
this, like, it's not always, it's gay if they're doing it soft, if they're holding your hand soft, but, like, it's a real power move to grab hold of a guy's hand and then not let go of it.
Oh,
when he's
yeah. Yeah, it's like your girlfriend's dad, and he's like crushing your hand.
Yeah, you're like, okay. Yeah, it's the second most powerful handshake move to the one that I talked about the other night, when somebody sticks their hand out to shake their hand and you just stare at it.
I'll try doing that next time, but, like, you know, the ultimate, like, your power move is, like, you go to grasp their hand and you kind of make, like, a very gentle, like, caressing motion with your fingers on the wrist.
Wait, Richard.
I'm sorry, I forgot to do it in the voice. They call that the secret handshake, and it's very empowering. You take your ring, index, and middle finger, and you just gently touch their wrist, making sure they know that they're loved, and perhaps you would love them too.
Yeah. Is it somebody in the chat? Tell me, is it something going on because of my internet going out that it's erasing the super chats, or have we literally done this whole show for 0 cents?
No, it's just the Hake Report.
Well, yeah, the Hake Report made a nice contribution of LBC, but I'm starting to feel like it just wasn't a good show. I don't know what's going on. That just can't be. Well, I mean, I don't know. Okay, so I guess we don't have any super chats to read. Let me check and see if there's any. If there's any Spurg chats, I should probably not read them. Oh, thank goodness, there are none. There's no free chats either.
Let me just say that, to put the brakes on fun, like, this is, like, one of the most perverse things about the whole transgender movement, is that you men who are trying to be women and vice versa, they always sort of, like, ape the most stereotypically masculine or feminine things that they can possibly do. You know, it's like you look at trannies, like male to female, right? And they become more feminine than women, and vice versa. And it's like, okay, so you're telling me that, like, gender is just, like, this made up construct, it's totally bogus, but, like, somehow you know exactly how to behave to become more masculine or feminine. You know, I'm just like, well, you know, my mind is blown.
Yeah. This whole premise to this article is, like, this person, this woman, didn't know how to be a man. She had to look it up online. Like,
and then that was wrong because she knows how to be a man better than men do.
Right, right. Oh, whereas a man just does it feminine. By instinct. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you know how to be a man if you're a man. Just, like, act normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, my advice is stay out of my barbershop. I don't like that whole lot. That was the one thing that really triggered me. I like the barbershop. And I hate it when women come to the barbershop. I hate it. You know, they do it because they just want some short, butchy haircut. You know, it'll always be some old boomer lady or whatever who's given up, right? And they're like, oh, I can go here. Yeah. and get a haircut for $10 instead of going to the beauty shop and getting one for $30. And it always upsets me. Like it's a thing that boomer men do. You know, old boomer men, they will come to the barbershop that I go to and they'll bring their wife in with them. I'm like, dude, come on. There's like six dudes sitting in here and we're all sitting around talking about dude stuff. And you're going to bring your old wife in here with you. And so, and everybody goes silent immediately, right? Suddenly this is no longer like the only male space on earth left. It's not even that anymore. Right. And
that's how barbershops work. You know, you get a $10 haircut, but you have the experience there. So you know, they make most of their money in tips. Whereas
Well, I mean,
salons,
I pay the barber a lot more than, $10 because I get my beard trimmed too. And I tip him. Yeah. And you know, you've got several guys sitting there waiting for the barber and everybody's sitting around talking and the whole place is like a male space. And these old guys, they'll bring their wife in and they'll be sitting there waiting. And at some point they'll be like, you cut women's hair too? And of course the barber has no choice but to say, sure, because if he does, he's in violation of the law. Right. But there was a guy, I believe he called himself Fashy Barber it was on Twitter way back when I used to be on Twitter. And I don't know, he was up in Cleveland or Chicago or somewhere like that. And I always wished I could go to his barbershop. Because I asked him, I said, do you ever have women come in there wanting haircuts just so they can save money? And he said, yeah, but not twice.
Not more than once.
And I said, what do you mean? He says, oh, I mess their hair up so bad they never want to come back. It's bad enough having the old women come in and getting their I've given up old woman haircuts. I do not want these trans goobers coming in and hanging out at the barbershop. Why do you have to come hang out at the barbershop? And if you're going to hang out at the barbershop, at least make it one of those barbershops that's in the trendy part of every downtown where all of the bars full of trans goobers and tattoo shops and everything are. And they have this thing that they're calling a barbershop where the haircut is $50 and it's being performed by some blue-haired female who's covered head to toe in tattoos with giant gauged ears and all that. That's where you go to a barbershop, you freak. Don't come to my barbershop. Don't come to my barbershop where all the scuff marks on the floor are in the shape of work boots. You turd. Leave me something.
Apparently the solution is whenever one of these trans goobers walks in, everybody just man spreads so there's no seats for them. And then what do you get up and go shake their hand and just fucking crush like 10 minutes until they fucking leave? Like,
and break wind. Break a lot
give them
of
a
wind.
Solid bag tag like the boys do. Yeah. Like, hey, what you doing? Pow!
Yeah. Well, okay. I guess since there's not any super chats to read. Oh. I don't know if I even want to take anybody's call. No, if you want to call in, raise your hand. Raise your hand.
We'll
Hurry up. Hurry up. We're not going
to
be
interested to take a call from the legendary James Hagen.
Oh, me too. Me too. Of course.
No pressure. No pressure.
Only if he wants to, yeah.
But, silent pressure.
Interested to take a call from anybody in the chat, to be honest with you. Of course, it takes like 30 seconds for them to hear that it's call taking time because of the delay. Well, no, the ones that are in the Telegram chat, they've already heard that. But if you want to call in, join the Telegram. The mods can throw the Telegram link in there. It looks like it looks like nobody's wanting to call in. So I guess we'll start doing the. Damn, we must have really upset people about Patriot Front.
I guess so. Shit.
No donos, no calls.
They must not be listening because you could tell there's 17 little fire clicks and none of the splats.
Yeah.
Because it's almost two a minute whenever we bring 18 up Patriot
now.
Front.
I just liked my own stream.
You know, your status in the organization gets reduced if you're listening to a podcast and someone talks about Patriot Front.
That's right.
You don't. you know, so it's mandatory for, yeah, for membership.
If you're not going to send us a donation, at least send us pictures of your driver's license or your license plates.
Yeah.
And for the lower tier membership, I'll take VIN numbers.
Yes.
And perhaps like your children's social security number. Hmm. But, you know.
Well.
I kid.
excuse me. There we go. Well, I guess we'll just do the housekeeping and sign off. We've been going for 3 hours and 20 minutes, it looks like. So, dang, I hope the show wasn't as bad as I feel like it was. Anyhow, make sure that you're following the official Crypto Report on Telegram. Follow James Hake on Telegram. Mods, throw these links all in the chat. Follow Dutchland's official Telegram channel. Follow Hate Farmer on Odyssey. Follow Tony Castle on Odyssey. Follow the Green Room Telegram and follow Nordic Frost's Green Room on Odyssey. Nordic told me in a chat the other day that he is feeling better, much more like himself, which I was very pleased to hear, and that soon he and I will be doing more deep dives and he will be doing his awesome classic rock and metal shows again, and you don't want to miss those. Even if you don't like classic rock and metal, Nordic Frost is such a good DJ that you will learn to love it. Isn't that right, Hate Farmer?
Yes. I've been instructed by the producer to say yes.
Yeah. 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 by the producer. Okay, so we do have a dono. Henry Ford with $25 says the only people cheaper than Jews are white nationalists.
This is true. A well documented phenomenon. Yeah, this is true.
Can confirm. All right. So thank you for that, Henry Ford. May many follow your example. All right. So remember, guys, that we love you. No homo. And hey, Varmer, are you going to do a Dutchland anytime soon? People want to know.
Oh, do they really?
Mm-hmm.
Do they really?
Am I not a person?
Okay, someone wants to know. A solitary individual wants to know. Yeah, I may, since Lamote, you refuse to do a show with me, right?
I don't want to do a show.
All right, you want to do a show. So maybe I'll wrestle up the Richard crew and we can cobble something together. Yeah, I know I've been remiss. You know, Tony, if you want to join, and of course, Asmodor, you're more than welcome.
Of course. But, of course I am.
You know, we're going to be playing music that you find objectionable.
Well, that happens everywhere I go, so.
Yeah, I'll try to throw something here.
Okay. Well, I guess with that, we're kind of out of here. Have a good evening, everybody, and we'll see you Wednesday, if not sooner. Good night, everybody.